Hi there, Israelites of the House of Jacob. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 5 of The Priesthood. This paper is found in the main menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. In part 4, we covered the order of Melchizedek, starting with Adam, the first high priest and preacher of righteousness in the order of Melchizedek. The second in the order was Adam's son, Seth, who was an outstanding leader of his people and kept them from Cain's Jewish children. Seth's son Enos was the third in the order, and he taught his family prayer and spiritual worship and the indescribable name of Yahweh. Enos' son Canaan was the fourth in the order, and he was very wise and had understanding. He also knew by his wisdom that Yahweh would destroy the sons of Adam for their sins with the flood. Canaan's son Mahalalel was the fifth in the order. His name means praise of God. Mahalalel's son Jared was the sixth in the order. These were the days when the angels lusted after the beautiful daughters of Adam and begat children with them. The order skipped Jared's son Enoch because Enoch was taken up by Yahweh. Enoch's son Methuselah was the seventh and next in the order after his grandfather Jared. At this time, all those who followed Yahweh died, and Yahweh instructed Methuselah and Noah to proclaim to the sons of Adam to turn from their wicked ways, or else in 120 years they would perish in the coming flood. Enoch passed on much information and wisdom to his son Methuselah, including the knowledge of the 4 intercalary days of the calendar, which were markers reckoning the 4 seasons. Methuselah's son Lamech was skipped in the order because Lamech died before his father Methuselah. So Noah was the 8th in the order, witnessed in 2 Peter 2:5. After the flood and Noah's death, his son Shem became the 9th in the order of Melchizedek. Shem is whom Yahweh's chosen people descended from. Shem is where we get the word Semite, which are white people. Our race is the Adamic race, and we are Semites, or Shemites. The Jews are not Semites. They are not descended from Shem, and they are not white, and are not of the sons of Adam. They are impostors, liars, and deceivers, and have stolen our identity. They are the children of the devil, as Yeshua Christ stated. Many believe that Shem was Melchizedek, whom Abraham paid tithes to. This is an error, because the scriptures have been tampered with by the rabbis in the 7th century who rewrote the Tanakh to suit their own agenda, which is to show that Yeshua Christ could not be the prophesied Messiah. Their Masoretic text translation leaves out 1380 years from the original timeline found in the Septuagint. Shem could not have been Melchizedek, because Shem would have been over 1,200 years old then. Shem's son Arphaxad was next, the 10th in the order. Arphaxad was Shem's 3rd son, but the order went through him, because the chosen line goes through Arphaxad, which leads to Jacob Yisrael. His son, Canaan, was the 11th in the order. It is possible that Canaan might have been disqualified, because he found writings that taught the teachings of the Watchers, which they used to observe omens and signs. The son of Canaan, Salah, was the 12th in the order. Salah means, I have been sent. Salah's son Eber, or Eber, was the 13th in the order. Eber was the father of the Hebrews. Eber's son Peleg was skipped, because Peleg died before his father Eber. Peleg's son Reu was the 14th in the order. In Reu's time, the sons of Adam became wicked and built the Tower of Babel. Reu's son Serug was skipped because Serug was an idolater. Serug was Abraham's great-grandfather. Serug's son Nahor was also skipped because he was an idolater. Nahor's son Terah was also skipped because Terah worshipped idols. 3 generations in a row were idolaters. Terah was Abraham's father, and Nahor II was Abraham's older brother. I believe Nahor II was Melchizedek, whom Abraham paid tithes to, as Nahor II would have been the oldest living qualified patriarch to hold the office and title of Melchizedek. There is no logical choice other than Nahor II as Melchizedek at that time. Reu, his great-great-grandfather, who was the 14th in the order, had died, and the next three generations from Reu were idolaters. I don't believe God or Jesus Christ were Melchizedek. There is no evidence or reason for them to be. I also am certain that someone not in this chosen Adamic line of descendancy would have been high priest over the sons of Adam either. So the only logical answer is Nahor II, Abraham's brother. We also saw that it is very possible that Isaac was next in the order, followed by Jacob and then Joseph. I found some information which I covered that shows that Moses may have been the last in the patriarchal order of Melchizedek, because he held the scepter of the high priest of Melchizedek. So what happened to the order after Moses? Well, the order was transferred to the office of the Levites. The Levites were an office of the priesthood, and they were the priestly tribe to the nations of Israel. The Levites dwelled among all the tribes and performed the rituals and atonements for the people. They were the middlemen and mediators for the people to God. When Yahweh brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he appointed Moses and Aaron, who were Levites, to instruct the sons of Levi of their office, their duties, and their calling. Genesis 46:11. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Exodus 6:18. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uziel. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aharon and Moshe. Levi was Moses and Aaron's great-grandfather. From the Testament of Levi, chapter 1, verse 6. And when I was feeding the flocks in Abel Mahl, the spirit of understanding of Yahweh came upon me, and I saw all men corrupting their way, and that unrighteousness had built for itself walls, and lawlessness sat upon towers. And I was grieving for the race of the sons of Adam, and I prayed to Yahweh that I might be saved. Then there fell upon me a sleep, and I beheld a mountain, and I was upon it. And behold, the heavens were opened, and a messenger of Elohim said to me, Levi, enter. And I entered from the first heaven, and I saw there a great sea hanging. And further I saw a second heaven far brighter and more brilliant, for there was a boundless light also therein. And I said to the messenger, Why is this so? And the messenger said to me, Marvel not at this, for you shall see another heaven more brilliant and incomparable. And when you have ascended there, you shall stand near Yahweh, and shall be his minister, and shall declare his mysteries to men, and shall proclaim concerning him that shall redeem Yisrael. And by you and Judah shall Yahweh appear among men, saving every race of Adam. And from Yahweh's portion shall be your life, and he shall be your field and vineyard, and fruits, gold and silver. Numbers 18:20. And Yahweh said to Aharon,
You are not to have an inheritance in their land, nor have any portion in their midst. I am your portion, and your inheritance among the children of Yisrael. And see, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Yisrael as an inheritance in return for the service which they are serving, the service of the tent of appointment.
Chapter 2. Levi urges piety and education. Now, therefore, know that Yahweh shall execute judgment upon the sons of Adam, because when the rocks are being rent, and the sun quenched, and the waters dried up, and the fire cowering, and all creation troubled,
and the invisible spirits melting away, and Hades taking spoils through the visitations of the Most High, men will be unbelieving and persist in their iniquity.
Psalm 78:32. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wonders.
Levi, verse 3. On this account, with punishment shall they be judged. Therefore the Most High has heard your prayer to separate you from iniquity, and that you should become to him a son and a servant and a minister of his presence. The light of knowledge shall you light up in Jacob, and as the sun shall you be to all the seed of Yisrael. And there shall be given to you a blessing, and to all your seed, until Yahweh shall visit all the nations in his tender mercies forever. And therefore there has been given to you counsel and understanding, that you might instruct your sons concerning this, because they that bless him shall be blessed, and they that curse him shall perish. And thereupon the messenger opened to me the gates of heaven, and I saw the holy temple, and upon a throne of glory the Most High.
And he said to me,
Levi, I have given you the blessing of the priesthood until I come and sojourn in the midst of Yisrael.
Chapter 3. Levi has visions and shows what rewards are in store for the righteous. Verse 14.
And I saw seven men in white raiment saying unto me,
Arise, put on the robe of the priesthood, and the crown of righteousness, and the breastplate of understanding, and the garment of truth, and the shield of faith, and the turban of the head, and the ephod of prophecy.
Exodus 28:30.
And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aharon's heart when he goes in before Yahweh. And Aharon shall bear the judgment of the children of Yisrael upon his heart before Yahweh continually.
Urim means lights, and Thummim means perfection. They were stones, 12 stones on the high priest's breastplate, used in determining Yahweh's decision in certain issues. They were used for the means of achieving a sacred lot revealing Yahweh's will.
Verse 15 of Levi. And they carried these things and put them on me and said unto me,
From henceforth become a priest of Yahweh, you and your seed forever.
And the first anointed me with holy oil, and gave to me the staff of judgment. The second washed me with pure water, and fed me with bread and wine, even the most holy things, and clad me with a holy and glorious robe. The third clothed me with a linen vestment like an ephod. The fourth put round me a girdle like unto purple. The fifth gave me a branch of rich olive. The sixth placed a crown on my head. The seventh placed on my head a diadem of priesthood, and filled my hands with incense, that I might serve as priest to Yahweh Elohim. And they said to me,
Levi, your seed shall be divided into three offices, for a sign of the glory of Yahweh, who is to come. And the first portion shall be great, yea, greater than it shall none be. The second shall be in the priesthood, and the third shall be called by a new name, because a king shall arise in Yehuda, and shall establish a new priesthood after the fashion of the nations. And his presence is beloved as a prophet of the Most High, of the seed of Abraham, our father.
This may be referring to 1 Chronicles chapters 6, 9, 23, and 25, where David set the services of the Levites when they were finally settled. Apparently, because they strayed from their duties and from the office between the Exodus and the period of the Judges.
Therefore, every desirable thing in Yisrael shall be for you and for your seed, and you shall eat everything fair to look upon, and the table of Yahweh shall your seed apportion. and some of them shall be high priests, and judges, and scribes. For by their mouth shall the holy place be guarded.
And when I awoke, I understood that this dream was like the first dream, and I hid this also in my heart, and told it not to any man upon the earth. And after 2 days, I and Judah went up with our father Jacob to Isaac, our father's father. And my father's father blessed me according to all the words of the visions which I had seen, and he would not come with us to Bethel. And when we came to Bethel, my father saw a vision concerning me, that I should be their priest unto Elohim. And he rose up early in the morning, and paid tithes of all to Yahweh through me. And so we came to Hebron to dwell there. And Isaac called me continually to put me in remembrance of the law of Yahweh, even as the messenger of Yahweh showed unto me. And he taught me the law of the priesthood of sacrifices, whole burnt offerings, first fruits, freewill offerings, and peace offerings. And each day he was instructing me, and I was busied on my behalf before Yahweh, and said to me, Beware of the spirit of fornication, for this shall continue, and shall by your seed pollute the holy place. Take, therefore, to yourself a wife without blemish or pollution, while yet you are young, and not of the race of the strange alien nations. And before entering into the holy place, bathe. And when you offer the sacrifice, wash. And again, when you finish the sacrifice, wash. Of 12 trees having leaves, offer to Yahweh, as Abraham taught me also. And of every clean beast and bird, offer a sacrifice to Yahweh. And of all your first fruits and of wine, offer the first, as a sacrifice to Yahweh Elohim, and every sacrifice you shall salt with salt. Now, therefore, observe whatever I command you, children. For whatsoever things I have heard from my fathers, I have declared unto you. And behold, I am clear from your ungodliness and transgression, which you shall commit in the end of the ages against the Savior of the world, Christ, acting godlessly, deceiving Israel, and stirring up against it great evils from Yahweh. And you shall deal lawlessly together with Yisrael, so he shall not bear with Yerushalayim because of your wickedness. But the veil of the temple shall be rent, so as not to cover your shame. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Levi 46. And you shall be scattered as captives among the nations, and shall be for a reproach and for a curse there. For the house which Yahweh shall choose shall be called Yerushalayim, as is contained in the book of Enoch the righteous. Therefore, when I took a wife, I was 28 years old, and her name was Melcah. And she conceived and bare a son, and I called his name Gershon, for we were sojourners in our land. Gershon means exile. Gershon must have done something to disqualify him from being first in rank. Verse 50 of Levi. And I saw concerning him that he would not be in the first rank. And Kohath was born in the 35th year of my life, toward sunrise. Kohath means assembly. Kohath was whom the line of Aaron became the high priests. Verse 52 of Levi. And I saw in a vision that he was standing on high in the midst of all the congregation. Therefore I called his name Kohath, which is beginning of majesty and instruction. Kohath was the grandfather of Moses and Aaron. Chapter 4. Levi shows how wisdom survives destruction. He has no use for scornful people. And now, my children, I command you, fear Yahweh your Elohim with your whole heart, and walk in simplicity according to all his law. And do you also teach your children letters, that they may have understanding all their life, reading unceasingly the law of Elohim. For everyone that knows the law of Yahweh shall be honored, and shall not be a stranger wheresoever he goes. Yea, many friends shall he gain more than his parents, and many men shall desire to serve him, and to hear the law from his mouth. Work righteousness, therefore, my children, upon the earth, that you may have it as a treasure in heaven, and sow good things in your souls, that you may find them in your life. Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. 1 Timothy 6:19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Verse 7 of Levi. But if you sow evil things, you shall reap every trouble and affliction. Get wisdom in the fear of Elohim with diligence. For though there be a leading into captivity, and cities and lands be destroyed, and gold and silver and every possession perish, the wisdom of the wise nothing can take away, save the blindness of ungodliness and the callousness that comes of sin. For if one keep oneself from these evil things, then even among his enemies shall wisdom be a glory to him, and in a strange country a fatherland, and in the midst of foes shall prove a friend. Whosoever teaches noble things and does them shall be enthroned with kings, as was also Joseph, my brother. Therefore, my children, I have learned that at the end of the ages you will transgress against Yahweh, stretching out hands to wickedness against him, and to all the nations shall you become a scorn. For our father Yisrael is pure from the transgressions of the chief priests, who shall lay their hands upon the Savior of the world. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Yeshua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Verse 13 of Levi. For as the heaven is purer in Yahweh's sight than the earth, so also be you, the lights of Yisrael, purer than all the nations. But if you be darkened through transgressions, what, therefore, will all the nations do, living in blindness? Yea, you shall bring a curse upon our race, because the light of the law, which was given for to lighten every man, this you desire to destroy by teaching commandments contrary to the ordinances of Elohim. The offerings of Yahweh you shall rob, and from his portion shall you steal choice portions, eating them contemptuously with harlots. Malachi 3:7.
Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings.
Verse 17 of Levi. And out of covetousness you shall teach the commandments of Yahweh. Wedded women shall you pollute, and the virgins of Jerusalem shall you defile, and with harlots and adulteresses shall you be joined, and the daughters of the nations shall you take to wife, purifying them with unlawful purification, and your union shall be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. And you shall be puffed up because of your priesthood, lifting yourselves up against men, and not only so, but also against the commands of Elohim. For you shall contemn the holy things with jests and laughter. Therefore the temple, which Yahweh shall choose, shall be laid waste through your uncleanness, and you shall be captives throughout all nations, and you shall be an abomination unto them, and you shall receive reproach and everlasting shame from the righteous judgment of Elohim. And all who hate you
shall rejoice at your destruction.
This happened during the Babylonian invasion. The Babylonians burned Jerusalem, the temple, the houses, and the gates of the city, and took the house of Judah in Jerusalem captive to Babylon. And the Edomite Jews rejoiced at the destruction of our people Israel. Psalm 137:7. Remember, O Yahweh, against the sons of Edom, the day of Yerushalayim, who said,
Lay it bare, lay it bare, to its foundation.
Verse 23 of Levi. And if you were not to receive mercy through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers, not one of our seed should be left upon the earth.
Grace and mercy towards the children of Israel comes from the promises Yahweh made with Abraham and his seed. If it were not for this covenant, our ancestors would have been destroyed with no remnant left.
Verse 24 of Levi. And now I have learned that for 70 weeks you shall go astray and profane the priesthood and pollute the sacrifices, and you shall make void the law and set at naught the words of the prophets by evil perverseness. And you shall persecute righteous men and hate the godly. The words of the faithful shall you abhor. And a man who renews the law in the power of the Most High, you shall call a deceiver, and at last you shall rush upon him to slay him, not knowing his dignity, taking innocent blood through wickedness upon your heads. And your holy places shall be laid waste even to the ground because of him. And you shall have no place that is clean, but you shall be among the nations a curse and a dispersion until he shall again visit you, and in pity shall receive you through faith and water.
This is the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel. Daniel 9:24.
70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy.
To finish the transgression of Israel.
Yeshua's last words were, "It is finished." His first advent completed the old covenant of the ritual laws of blood sacrifice. Yeshua Christ was the last sacrifice under the old covenant. His death nullified the state of divorce between Israel and Yahweh. It releases Yahweh from marriage and satisfies the law of the husband. Romans 7, 1-12. It frees Yahweh and allows for remarriage. Yahweh being the husband to ancient Israel at Sinai, who divorced them after the death of Solomon and cast them off among the nations, and the reconciliation through his death as Yahweh in the flesh, Yeshua, which clears him of his own law of marriage and divorce, and now he can marry us upon Judgment Day, which is also the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Seventy weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
To make an end of sins.
The renewed covenant, which was announced at the Last Supper, was prophesied by Jeremiah in chapter 31, 31 through 37. At that time, 99.9% of Israelites in the world were in dispersion, outside of Judea, scattered among the nations and walking in darkness, which is ignorance, and they didn't even know that their Messiah had come. That good news was not spread until after his death. The gospel is to these lost, scattered, and walking in darkness Israelites. The same lost, stiff-necked, ignorant, pork-eating, Jew-worshipping white Israelites in today's churches who are walking in darkness and think that Jesus put an end to sin and the law and made the garbage-eating animals clean to eat. Well, these garbage-disposing animals are still eating garbage, so was garbage cleansed too? Sin did not end. It put an end to sins under the old covenant, which needed a priesthood and ritual oblations to cover over the sins of the people. But it was only a temporary atonement, because a man or a ritual cannot absolve the penalty of sin. Only Christ Yeshua can.
70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
To make reconciliation for iniquity.
Reconciliation is atonement for our sins. As our kinsman redeemer, Yeshua Messiah took upon himself all of our sins under the old covenant, thus atoning for the millions of violations of the oath our ancestors made at Sinai, which applies to all their children after them. Yeshua is our propitiatory shelter. His blood covers our sins and shelters us from the penalty of death, which we deserve.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
The priesthood could only make a temporary propitiatory shelter because they were only men and the blood was of animals. They were just men of the office of an earthly priesthood. When Christ died and arose from the dead, he became the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He is eternal and his blood is the only propitiatory shelter which is not temporary, so long as you continue in the way.
70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
Bring in everlasting righteousness.
All of Christian history, starting from that day, was designed and intended by Yahweh to bring in everlasting righteousness, justice, according to his laws. This will not be accomplished until the second coming, when both death and evil will be destroyed, but we are to strive to be like Christ, to walk in his example and as the true Christian the scriptures teach us to be. One with knowledge and understanding, who believes and practices the belief. Yahweh gave us laws. We are to follow them. When we miss the mark of duty and sin, we invite the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 upon us. If we don't get the warning and continue to sin, then we are not covered under His blood. His blood doesn't cover unrepentant sinners. Christianity is a lifestyle, and it's a heritage. It's not a religion. It's not a club. And it's not something to just believe.
Just believe.
Everlasting righteousness belongs to those of the seed of Jacob who are obedient to Christ.
70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
To seal up the vision and the prophecy.
This means that Calvary fulfilled the 70 weeks prophecy. All of the prophecies concerning the first advent were fulfilled in Yeshua Christ. Sealed up means ratified. And the last part,
and to anoint the most holy.
Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as Yeshua sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. The angel Gabriel, still speaking, Daniel 9:25,
know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Master, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be rebuilt again, and the wall, even in troublous times.
The decree was given sometime between the fall of 458 to the spring of 457 B.C. Ezra 7:21,
and I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of the Elohim of heaven, shall require of you, it shall be done speedily.
Verse 26 of Daniel.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined.
The lowercase prince is a commander and is a reference to General Titus. The Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD. They plowed Jerusalem like a field. 70 weeks of years equals 490 years. The first set of 7 weeks, 49 years, was rebuilding Jerusalem. After 62 more weeks of years, which would be 434 years, in the 70th week of years, Yeshua's baptism took place at the hand of John the Baptist. So, the first 69 weeks, which is 483 years, brings us to the 70th week, which, in the midst of the week, began Jesus' mission in Judea. The midst of the week is referring to the middle of the 70th week of prophetic years, which would leave 3.5 years left in the life of Christ, in which he began his ministry. Having achieved the age of 30,
Luke 3:23,
Jesus was eligible to become a priest of Israel. Daniel 9:27,
and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Isaiah 42:6,
I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations.
Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Yeshua confirmed the covenant with his people, Israel, during the final literal week of the 70 weeks prophecy. His fellowshipping with his disciples in Bethany and Jerusalem during Holy Week. The Last Supper was the actual event at which the new covenant of Jeremiah 31:31-37 was instituted. Jeremiah 31:31.
See, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Yisrael and with the house of Yehuda, not like the covenant I made with their forefathers in the day when I strengthened their hand to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yahweh. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Yisrael after those days, declares Yahweh. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts, and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall they teach each one his neighbor, and each one his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh, for I shall forgive their crookedness, and remember their sin no more.
Thus said Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the laws of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea, and its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name.
If these laws vanish from before me, declares Yahweh, then the seed of Yisrael shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus said Yahweh, if the heavens above could be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I would also cast off all the seed of Yisrael for all that they have done, declares Yahweh.
Hebrews 8:8, for finding fault with them, he says,
See, the days are coming,
says Yahweh,
when I shall conclude with the house of Yisrael and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their forefathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says Yahweh. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Yisrael after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall by no means teach each one his neighbor, and each one his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, because they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Because I shall forgive their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their lawlessnesses, I shall no longer remember.
Hebrews 10:16.
This is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them, and their sins and their lawlessnesses I shall remember no more.
It's important to understand the difference between the 70th week year, which is 7 years, and the final literal 7-day week. The midst of the week is a reference to the final prophetic week, the final 7 years. The baptism of John in the Jordan River, which, although occurring in the middle of the final week of 7 years, was the beginning of his ministry, which was 3.5 years.
The middle of the week. The middle of the final prophetic week of years, which was 7 years. Half of that is 3.5. That's when Christ's ministry started.
The phrase sacrifice and the oblation to cease refers to the Levitical priesthood. The Levites cleansed and prepared the lambs for sacrifice for the atonement of sin for the children of Israel. When John, the last legitimate Levitical priest, was baptizing, he was cleansing the priesthood, and his baptizing of Christ was preparing him for sacrifice. After Christ died, the priesthood, rituals, and sacrifices ended. The Levitical ordinances expired. Christ is now our high priest. The churches teach that the law was done away with. The law is still in effect. The priesthood and its rituals were done away with. The phrase, the overspreading of abominations, is a reference to the Edomite Jews that have taken over and resided in the land of Israel. John Hyrcanus and Herod had a hand in this. They were the ones who forced racial integration of Jews and Israelites. John Hyrcanus was the one who started circumcising Jews, and Herod was the one who had the Levitical priests slaughtered and replaced the priesthood with Edomite Jews. The 69 weeks, which is 483 years, ended in the year 26 AD. The 70th week culminated at the cross in 33 AD. Artaxerxes' decree was given in 458 BC, plus 490 years, the 70 prophetic weeks of Daniel, equals 33 AD.
Wow!
The Testament of Levi, Chapter 5. And whereas you have heard concerning the 70 weeks, hear also concerning the priesthood. For in each jubilee there shall be a priesthood. And in the first jubilee, the first who is anointed to the priesthood shall be great, and shall speak to Elohim as to a father. And his priesthood shall be perfect with Yahweh, and in the day of his gladness shall he arise for the salvation of the world. Jubilee is Yobel in the Hebrew. A jubilee year occurs every 49 years. If we number 7 jubilees from the death of Christ backwards, we start in the year approximately 310 to 308 BC, because 7 times 49 is 343. So verses 1 through 3 of the Testament of Levi are speaking of Onias. We do not have enough time in this episode to cover the 7 jubilee time frames of the priesthood. Please join me for that in the next episode. The Sabbath and jubilee years can be found in Leviticus 25:1, and Yahweh spake to Moshe in Mount Sinai, saying,
Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yahweh. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years unto you, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shall you cause the shofar of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land.
The jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement in the 49th year and lasts until the Day of Atonement the following year. For example, 49 years. The 50th year, which is the Jubilee year, is symbolic. This Yobel year would be within the 49th and 50th year, because it lands on the Day of Atonement, which is in the 7th month. So the 50th year, being symbolic, is reckoned from the 7th month on the 10th day to the following year on the 7th month, the 10th day. The next Yobel year would be within the 98th and 99th year.
And you shall set apart the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee year, marked by the blowing of cornets unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family.
The Yobel year is a total release of debts and servitude. It's Yahweh's way of returning you to your possessions.
Yay!
I've also done a study on the Jubilee, and I also believe I have figured out which years are the Jubilee years from the first Jubilee to the last. Yahweh.org has done a great job with their historical research, along with the records in Josephus, Scripture, and Holy Spirit guidance. I find that the first Jubilee would have been 1386 BC, the first Jubilee after entering the land of Canaan, which was in 1436 BC. The last Jubilee was in 1996, which, if correct, has us in the 70th Jubilee, which the next one is in 2045, unless Yeshua comes back before that. I believe it is possible that Yeshua Messiah will return sometime between 2033 and 2045. 2033 would be 2,000 years since Christ's sacrifice and death and resurrection. In the book of Hosea 6:2, it says, "After 2 days he shall revive us, and on the third day he shall raise us up, so that we live before him." So let us know, let us pursue to know Yahweh. His going forth is as certain as the morning, and he comes to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth. We know that
one day
to God is as 1,000 years to us. I believe Hosea 6:2 is speaking of the 2 days being the 2,000 years, which we are in and which ends in 2033, as the time in which we better trim our lamps and be ready for the shofar blast, which ushers in the return of our King, our High Priest and Savior, in the order of Melchizedek.